After the terrorist attacks of 9/11, the federal government set up a victims' compensation fund for all the families of the victims. And attorney Anthony Feinberg was assigned the daunting task of distributing these funds. He took on the task with his typical diligence that he would normally assign to his roles, and he quickly applied what was the precedence in civil law, measuring, they've taken into consideration the age, the social background, the earning potential, and the number of children into each family, and distributed funds accordingly, from $250,000 to up to $7 million. But it caused him quite a difficulty in doing so, and he had a significant number of the victim's family appeal, and he found it difficult to answer them. One family, one wife of the a fire rider wrote to him, "Dear Mr. Feinberg, why do you consider the life of my husband to be less valued than the man he attempted to save? A executive in Enron. Does he not deserve the same memory as that man?" Feinberg struggled with it, and he had no way to change the ruling because it was done according to civil law and the precedence that civil law. This happens in the courts around our country every single day. People's lives are valued differently. Cost of a person's life is actually measured according to their earning potential, the number of children and dependents they have, number of other factors that are brought into the case. Some years later, Anthony Feinberg was asked to distribute a private fund for a compensation fund for the victims of the Virginia Tech shootings. And this time he had the liberty to be able to apply whatever policy he wanted. And he came to a policy what he calls according to the divine law. Everyone got the exact same amount of money. Every life was considered equal. Whether it was a student, or whether it was a professor, whether it was an immigrant, or whether it was a U.S. citizen, whether it was a janitor, or whether it was a professor, they all got the exact same because, quote, every man, woman, and child is created equal in God's eyes, so therefore the families should be compensated equally. It's that very mindset that Christ is trying to get across in today's readings and giving the example of the end of time. How will we measure? All were created equally, and all will be created equally at the end. At the end, when we die and we go to heaven, we cannot take anything with us. Literally nothing. We know this. This is not news to us. When we die, we can only thing that can go ahead of us is the good deeds that we have done. And so we are called to treat all equal. We're called to love others equally. And, you know, the example we hear today is Christ the King. Is what type of king is our Christ, our God? He's a king like a shepherd. He cares for all. But if he cares more for one, it's going to be the least one, the one who most needs it. And so we're called to model our life on that same premise. They were called to treat those who are least able to take care of themselves a little bit more special. Now look, I think we all kind of agree theologically or intellectually on this. Nobody's going to object to, yeah, no, that's right, that's a good thing to do, that's right. The challenge is when we come to actually do it. It's really, really hard. How could we possibly reach that incredible standard of treating all people equally? I mean, oftentimes we'll hear the phrase, show me how you treat your friends and your family, and I'll tell you who you are. And that's a good measure. No question, if we don't treat our family and our friends very well, it's not a kind of a good sign, right? So, but even though we can treat our family and our friends well, according to the scriptures, that's not enough. You see, even the thieves do that well. And it's easy to love those who love you back. That's a measure of friendship, if you would, right? A measure of a discipleship is a different measure. It's show me how you treat the least one, the person who you find most difficult to be around. That's the measure of our discipleship. That's the measure of the quantity and maybe the quality of the love that we have. Now, look, I'm not talking about getting involved and condoning, if you would, abusive relationships. I'm talking about how do we measure how well a disciple we are? Well, think of the person who we find most difficult to be around. The person in our neighborhood, maybe in our family, but maybe a particular political class. Or maybe it's a different group of people. And how do we treat them? How do we talk of them? That will tell us more of who we are as a disciple than anything else. That is the measuring stick which the Lord asks us. To love the least ones among us the most. So in the end, the measure of our life will not be on how well we have lived, but on how well we have loved. And the measuring stick of that love is the love of those who are least deserving, least able, and least, deserving of our love. That is the true measure of our discipleship. And I am not for one moment saying that any of those are easy. In fact, if we're really honest, every one of those is incredibly hard. But that is the work of our discipleship. So let's ask ourselves, who around us do we find the hardest to deal with? And how do we love them? How do we treat them will be a measure of our discipleship. Can we work on that together? Can we find a way to be better at that? Because it's easy to love those who love us back. Let's love those who find it very hard or maybe cannot love us back. But we can. And so what do? We treat them like Christ would treat us. Because that is about his kingdom. That is why Christ is king. It is the measure of our love for the least ones.